Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I enjoy the old TV show, Hogan's Heroes. The show itself is a comedy, but it's in the context in Germany during World War II. The main character, Colonel Hogan, and his men are all Allied prisoners of war in a German POW camp. However, even though they're prisoners, the premise of the show is that they're actually carrying out covert missions for the Allies as prisoners of war. Even though they're locked up in the camp, they're actually quite capable of leaving the prison at any time. They have tunnels and other means of exiting the camp, and they do so to carry out missions against the Germans. From the prison camp, they carry out all sorts of clandestine operations, secretly destroying German weapons, reporting enemy troop movements, rescuing Allied troops, and a whole host of other secret missions. And their overall mission is to interfere with German war efforts in any way they can, deep from behind enemy lines, staging their operations from the POW camp. Well, as Christians, we are, in a way, like Colonel Hogan and his men. We're living in a simple world, living behind enemy lines, so to speak. And as God's people, we carry out God's mission in this world. However, our methods are quite different from that of Hogan and his soldiers. We don't use violence or destruction or deception to combat the enemy. God has given us weapons that are very different from the world's weapons. And one of those weapons that I want to focus on today is that of peace. Now, it may sound counterintuitive, peace as a weapon. But it's one of the gifts that God gives his people both for their own good and for the good of the whole world. In order to better understand how we wield peace as a weapon, let's turn to our gospel reading. Well, John 14 takes place the night that Jesus was betrayed. He's celebrating the Passover with his disciples and taking the opportunity to teach them. In our appointed text for today, Jesus promises his disciples the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in his name. It's fitting that this is our gospel reading for today as we are celebrating Pentecost, that mysterious event in Acts 2 where the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples and enabled them to preach the gospel of Jesus in a myriad of languages, resulting in the baptism of 3,000 people. The day of Pentecost, then, is one fulfillment of Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit to the disciples in John 14. However, another fulfillment of Jesus' promise to the disciples is found in John chapter 20, when the resurrected Christ appeared to the disciples in the locked room, and he breathed upon them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The sending and receiving of the Holy Spirit and the subsequent work of the Spirit is all bound up in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The Holy Spirit concerns himself with connecting people to Jesus. He does this through the means of grace, God's word, the forgiveness of sins, and the sacraments. The promise and the reception of the Holy Spirit is a good and precious gift for God's people, for us. For you also have received the Holy Spirit, the waters of holy baptism in conjunction with the word of God, the Spirit created faith in you, connecting you to Christ. Your baptism, then, was yet another fulfillment of Jesus' promise in John 14. In receiving the Spirit, we receive the Spirit's many gifts. Faith in Christ, forgiveness of sins, life, salvation, the fruits of the Spirit, just to name a few. I find it interesting, however, that both here in John 14 and in John 20, the promise and the reception of the Holy Spirit is closely connected to the gift of Jesus' peace. In John 20, prior to breathing the Spirit upon the disciples, twice the resurrected Lord told the disciples, "Peace be with you." And in John 14, immediately after promising the Spirit, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The Holy Spirit is all about connecting people to Jesus. And it's only through the Spirit that one receives the peace that Jesus gives. And through your baptism, through the ongoing hearing of the gospel, and through the body and blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit has given you and continues to give you Jesus' peace. But what exactly is the peace that Jesus gives? For Jesus himself distinguishes his peace from any form of peace that the world might give. Not as the world do I give to you, Jesus said. For peace, like many other biblical terms, words like love or hope, are often employed by the world that on the surface may sound good, but are actually quite different from how Jesus uses such terms. For example, peace is periodically used as a political buzzword, or it's reduced to mere inner feelings. Now, neither one of these may be inherently bad, but ultimately, they're not the same sort of peace that Christ gives. For peace politicized by the world, or the peace that I may experience as an emotion, are entirely subjective. They may be good, but they don't last and are only fleeting. The peace of Christ, however, is an objective peace. It's the objective peace. It's not a buzzword or a feeling, but an objective gift from God, an objective status before God, an objective identity granted by God. For the peace that Jesus gives is peace with God. It's a peace that restores the relationship between holy God and sinful human. It's a peace that declares you to be forgiven of your sins, that you are indeed God's own child. It's a peace that removes the guilt of your sin. It's a peace that surpasses all human understanding and feelings. It's a peace that you have, regardless of your life circumstances. You have this peace, whether or not you feel at peace. And it's a peace that's only attained through Jesus. And it's only through the work of the Spirit that a person can receive this objective peace. For it's only through faith in Christ that we have this peace. And it's only through faith that we know that this peace exists. As the baptized, as those who belong to Christ, you most assuredly have this objective gift of Jesus' peace. So this peace comes to us vertically from God, but this peace doesn't, or nor should it, remain in us. The peace we receive from Christ through the Holy Spirit should flow out horizontally into the world around us. As the baptized, Jesus has tasked us to share the peace we received with the world. As recipients of Christ's peace, we are agents of his peace. We live in the world as agents of peace. And just look at Jesus' life, for he himself was an agent of peace. And consider what he did throughout his ministry. He healed the sick, drove out demons, calmed storms, provided food, and forgave sins. Jesus gave peace through his words and actions, through his ministry, presence, and interactions with sinful, broken people. Jesus spoke and lived out this peace. In a dark and violent world, Jesus was and is the Prince of Peace. And consider all the ways that Jesus spoke and enacted peace in the events of his passion. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he commanded Peter to put away his sword. In the trials before the Sanhedrin and Pilate, he mostly kept silent, refraining from getting defensive. When the soldiers mocked and tortured him, he did not retaliate. On the cross, he pleaded with the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he spoke words of peace and comfort to one of the criminals, promising him eternal life. Even in the dark and evil events of Jesus' passion, he remained the agent of peace, bringing the peace of God into the heart of human darkness. And even in his death, Jesus was the agent of peace. He submitted to the pangs of death but he victoriously rose again from the dead. Now there is peace, even in death, for all who belong to Christ. And through the water and the word, the Holy Spirit has connected us to the life, death, and ministry of Christ. He's connected us to Jesus' peace. He's connected us to the agent of true and lasting peace. For what the Spirit began on Pentecost, he's continuing to do through the life of the church, through the lives of God's people, through us. The Spirit is tirelessly transforming us into agents of Christ's peace. For we live in a dark world, full of sin and evil and brokenness. However, we have countless opportunities to speak and enact Jesus' peace in the midst of this world's sin and darkness. In a way, we live, work, and play behind enemy lines. We're citizens of God's kingdom, yes, but we live as citizens of God's kingdom in the world. For the world still belongs to God, and he's actively reclaiming it from the forces of evil. And as Christians, we participate in God's ongoing work to reclaim the world. And one way that we participate in God's mission is to live as the agents of peace that he's made us to be. We're agents, God's agents, who operate behind enemy lines. But unlike Colonel Hogan and his soldiers who carried out their missions via espionage and sabotage, we, as God's people, carry out God's mission by speaking and enacting the peace of Jesus. We do this by living and speaking as those who have peace from our holy God, with our God. Objective peace that remains true regardless of our circumstances or the hardships and difficulties we may experience. And we do not have to be agents of the world's ways. We don't have to be agents of anger or violence, harsh words or gossip, bitterness or resentment, distrust or dissatisfaction, jealousy, greed, or lust. Instead, we can be the agents of peace that God has made us to be. And being agents of peace can take on countless forms in the lives of Christians. It can be as simple as patiently raising your children, your family, to love and obey Jesus. It can be simply caring for your spouse who is afflicted with physical or mental disease. It can be working as a faithful and honest employer or employee. It can be biting your tongue when you really wish to speak ill of someone. It can be offering a word of peace in the midst of conflict or arguments. It can be being kind and courteous to the workers of the restaurants and stores that we shop at. It can be speaking to the classmates that no one likes. It can be devoting your time to prayer when you're unable to leave your home anymore, praying for peace in your own family, our church, our nation, and the world. It can be simply asking for forgiveness when you wronged someone. It can be speaking the words, "I forgive you," to someone who's wronged you. There truly are countless ways that we are and we can be agents of peace, of the Prince of Peace in this world. And in being agents of peace, God is at work in this world through our words and actions. Living as Christ's agents of peace is certainly difficult. The world, after all, crucified the Prince of Peace, and it still often rejects the peace that Jesus offers. But Christ's promise remains, even when others reject his peace. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. It takes courage and compassion to be agents of peace. And Jesus' gift of peace remains for those who follow him. For blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. The band DC Talk has a song that speaks to living as agents of Christ's peace. In the refrain of their song, Chance, they say, "Every day we live, there's a chance to give. Every time we speak, there's a chance for peace. Every day we live, there's a chance. Indeed, as the baptized, we have countless chances to be the agents of peace that the Holy Spirit is making us to be. For Christ has and continues to give you His true and lasting peace. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.